This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Saraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Saraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, with the deficit, with the debt, we have got to start getting control over spending. And President Trump's got that as a top priority, too. So making sure that we get the savings as well as going to current policy as baseline allows you to go to permanency instead of 10-year renewal. And then you get an even bigger bounce. 10-year renewal would be great. A permanent tax code would be even better.
Well, Steve Scalise talking about the permanency of the tax code. And if we know anything about Steve Moore, our friend, it's that he wants to see those Trump tax cuts be made permanent. Steve Moore joins us once again, distinguished fellow in economics at the Heritage Foundation, also a Trump economic advisor, and his book, The Trump Economic Miracle and the Plan to Unleash Prosperity Again. Steve, welcome back. Always good to have you here.
Hi, Annie. Great to be with you, too. Thank you.
Of course. You've been lobbying hard to make sure that those tax cuts are made permanent. And I assume that you're not wanting to wait until what would it be, the end of September or whatever, when that bill has been pushed to. What's the status right now in Congress on the Trump tax cuts?
Well, that's the problem, is that unfortunately, the president hasn't been talking a lot about it for the last month because he's been talking about tariffs, and I think that's he's been off message. And then you've got, the House passed this bill back about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and the Senate's just been dawdling. And there should be a sense of urgency here because, again, I say it each week on your show, I will say it once more, that if we don't get this done before the end of the year, then we're facing a $4 trillion tax increase, and the average family in St. Louis area would be paying about $2,000 to $3,000 more in taxes. So, and every small business would pay more taxes. It would be a horrendous situation. So we got to get this done. I think Wall Street wants to get it done quickly. I think Americans want to make sure that they're not facing a giant tax cliff next year. So I want Trump to get out there and sell the plan, sell it and demand, crack the whip with these senators, get them on board so we can get this done as quickly as possible.
So that you're saying with the senators, is the hang up right now getting the Senate to pass this bill?
Well, so that passed the House, as I said, 3 or 4 weeks ago. Now it ping-pongs over to the Senate, and the Senate just hasn't done anything. They're kind of whistling Dixie and taking their time to get it done, and when urgency is important, partly also because the economy is a little fragile right now. The stock market's been on a big sell-off, so we could use some growth stimulants right now, some steroids, and what better to do than to assure all the investors and all the families that their taxes won't go up next year. And then we have the additional stuff like the no tax on tips, the 15% tax rate Trump is talking about for American businesses, the no tax on Social Security, all those things would help the economy a lot as well.
I'm looking right now just at the Fox Business homepage. Steve Moore speaking with us right now. And it looks like 45% of the headlines are on tariffs. 45% of the headlines are on Doge and cutting. And then there's a couple other, headline news based items there. Do you think that the Doge part of the equation has been a good story on the whole for the Trump administration and ultimately for the American economy?
Well, also, if you go to the Fox website, you'll see the new ad that we're running on the country on the tax bill telling Congress, get this thing done as quickly as possible. But Doge, I want to make sure that all of your listeners, I want them to go after your show is over. I want them to go online and go to the YouTube and take a look at those two amazing interviews that Brett Baer did with the Doge team.
Yes.
I don't know if you've seen those,
yes.
Annie, but they are amazing. And the idea that these people are being treated, you know, like Elon Musk and his associates are being treated like they're villains, this is one of the most patriotic missions. None of them are getting paid anything. These are people who are taking their own time, their own money, their own resources to investigate where the waste is in government. The stories that they're telling about the fact we're still using computers in the federal government that were built in the 80s, 40 years old. I mean, it's crazy. The average college student has a better computer than the federal government does. It's just, we're spending $10 billion on rent on empty office buildings. We have thousands of people over the age of 120 that are still getting Social Security checks. We have, spent $500 million on foreign aid. We don't even know where the money went. It went to these NGOs. We don't know what they did with the money. I mean, I could go on and on and on. And this should infuriate voters. We should demand action on this. And, how is it that Elon Musk is treated like a
villain,
scoundrel, when he's doing all this for the country?
It's outrageous. And you just see the emotional reaction from the fringe left. It doesn't have a lot of, it seems like, actual thought process in the reaction that they have towards Doge. Last question.
Well, they say, oh, well, he wasn't elected to do anything. Well, it's true. He's not elected. He's just doing this as a citizen of our country. This is his patriotic duty to, and this is a guy who's busy. He has SpaceX, he has Tesla, he runs five companies. He's, I don't know how he has the hours in the day to do this. And he's telling us, hey, the government is ripping you off. They're stealing your money. And the fraudsters and the corruption and the incompetence and now it's the example I use is like saying, oh, Al Capone wasn't the problem. It was Elliot Ness for, discovering that he was doing all this criminal activity. Why is the whistleblower here the villain?
I think because people care more about politics than the actual outcome.
They
unfortunately.
Do. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so sick, by the way, not to go off too much on this, but every time you listen to a Democrat, Chuck Schumer or AOC or Elizabeth Warren, all these Democrats that, they're asked about, what do you think about Doge? Oh, well, of course, we're all concerned about waste, but da 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 da. Well, the truth is they aren't concerned about waste. They could care less about the waste. And then the question is why? Why are they allowing this waste and fraud and criminal activity to happen? And I think I know what the answer is. You know what it is?
Tell me. What, Steve?
I think that this is how these guys get rich.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep. And I think he's the one who's going to root it out.
It.
Yeah. Elon.
They're in on it.
Elon's going to find out.
You've got the Sheldon Whitehouse who, he's so sanctimonious. He's so holier than thou. And he got a $10 million grant and $2.5 million $2.5 million of that money found their way in his wife's bank account. That's just a criminal, graft.
Yeah, it is. And when we find that out and that money train stops, you can see why some people would start to flail a little bit. Steve, thank you. We know your time is precious, and we're always grateful that you share a bit of it with us here on the Annie Fry Show.
Okay. Thanks, Annie. Have a great week.
You as well. Take care. Bye-bye. I got somebody put on the Illinois Rising Facebook page today. They're like, did Annie really say on her show that there weren't any crimes committed with all this, the Doge cuts and everything? They said they didn't hear me say it. I guess they heard someone say that I had said that. And the only thing I could think of that we talked about was last week when we said that if the one thing that you're waiting for out of this Trump administration, because we were talking about Pam Bondi, was the perp walk, the handcuffs, the orange jumpsuit, you might not get that. You might not get the visual of the criminal perp walk after charges might be filed here. And I also think that there's going to be a lot of this that is going to be greatly unethical, released to show how all of these things happen, but maybe not illegal. But the idea that there is fraud and criminal behavior going on, that's what Elon Musk is getting to the bottom of it. And will we see some of that? I think we will. But right now, it's almost like fact-finding mission right now, the action to what's going on with Doge. We need to find everything out. We need to get everything out and spread it out on the table so we can see what we're actually dealing with. And have you noticed that when Elon Musk is answering questions, or anybody with Doge is answering questions, that while they get asked about something in particular, they tell you about like five other things that they found in search of an answer for problem A. Now they have identified problem B, C, D, and E, and it just never ends.
Yeah, I think in that conversation, we were talking about how some people just want the image of the perp walk. There can be a lot of illegal stuff that's been going on with a lot of names that we don't know. So there could be a lot of arrests and none of the people that you're suspecting do the orange jumpsuit thing.
There's the people at the top, the faces and the names that we know, they're smart enough.
Yes.
To not have their hands dirty.
And they've been running government. And so the problem with the people, if you're a criminal running government, well, how do you decide whether something's illegal? Well, the government decides that. So if they've made up rules for basically figuring out how to money launder and gotten around the rules, they've probably made those things legal in the process. So some of the illegality they can't get around, but some of the ways they've found to get around things are because they were the ones writing the laws. So the question of illegality becomes very, very weird when you're talking about elected officials.
I think if there's a if there's an opportunity for Donald Trump to perp walk Hillary Clinton, he's not going to pass up on that opportunity.
No, absolutely not. But they tried to do that to him.
Yes, exactly. And I like going back to that particular comparison. The left wanted to see a Donald Trump perp walk. They got a version of it, but in an image. If a picture is worth a thousand words, they didn't have Donald Trump's head being lowered into a police vehicle with his hands cuffed behind his back. They'd have killed to have that. They mistook the value of a Trump mugshot. They got the mugshot. You remember before the mugshot, everyone was like, there's not going to be a mugshot. There's not going to be this. There's not going to be that. I remember hearing people say, and I never really thought of it this way, but the intention, the point of a mugshot is to make sure that everybody can be aware of the face of this person so that in the future you've identified the specific person who's charged. If they end up being convicted, then this person's face out there. You don't need that with Donald Trump. Everybody in the world knows who Donald Trump is. So yeah. You don't really need the mugshot, but they wanted the mugshot because of the value of that. And so I understand on the flip side why Republicans would want to see that as well. I just see the people who we may potentially see experience that are not going to be the people who in one image people are going to see and everybody's going to know who that person is. And it's going to speak a huge political message.
Yes.
You'd have to know some of the details. You know, we're talking about the people at the very tippy top of all of these types of instances. Devin Archer, who was Hunter Biden's business partner, has been granted a pardon. It's a pardon. It's not clemency, correct?
As far as I know.
I think it's a pardon from Donald Trump. And he's been talking about what it's like to work with the Biden
family. So how involved was Joe Biden in the Hunter business?
Well, Joe Biden was... he was the brand that we were selling. I think that was, you know, it was a term that came to me looking into Jim Jordan's eyes in the congressional testimony, rolled his sleeves up even higher when right. I said that. So that was the brand. That was the access. That was what we did to, you know, to find additional sources of capital or deal flow. So we were selling the Biden brand. I mean, I would say, you know, at the end of a business meeting, you know, I keep it at 20 so I don't perjure myself on the Fox News network. But Joe would end a meeting and say, you do a favor for me, you're my friend. You do a favor for my son, you're a friend for life.
Is that, can you charge him with a crime for saying something like that? Like, what is the weight of those words?
It's significant. I mean, the weight of those words is a lot. It's just a matter of what is the actual crime? Because what we're seeing now, the shocking thing to me is not that we're seeing behind closed doors and realizing that very, very powerful people were misusing their power for money and for backdoor influence across whatever, just to enrich themselves, make their lives better at the expense of everybody else. What's shocking to me is that there have been movies made about this and stories made about this for hundreds of years, that politicians are dirty, and that we finally start to see it and people start to protect. There's a portion of our population that want to protect the politicians. I never thought we'd see that. And that's what's shocking to me.
We said at the beginning of the show that if we got to 300 votes by our 2 o'clock hour, so we still got about 40 minutes, a little over 40 minutes left by the time we open the mics in the 2 o'clock hour. If we get 300 votes in our YouTube poll today, that we'll take questions on it, but through your phone calls. The poll question is, would you support a third term for president? Yes or no? I played earlier the clip from Air Force One where Trump is asked repeatedly by a reporter. He's like, I don't really want to talk about that. And some would say this is my third term. He doesn't say, no, I'm not running for a third term. He doesn't give them that. And that is a very calculated response on his part. But if he gives a 3-minute response to that question, 20 seconds of it is dedicated to saying, well, I'm not really wanting to get into that. And then he explains why maybe this is his third term. And then he starts talking about things that he has done that is successful, or he starts trashing what the Biden administration did to him and so on and so forth. And the rest of the 3 minutes is him doing what he does, which is talking about whatever he gosh darn pleases. So if we get to 300 votes and we're at 228 right now, so this is well within range, we will take some of your phone calls in the 2 o'clock hour on the question, would you support a third term for President Trump? Here is Tim said, do I think he would do a good job? Yes. Should he run? No. Let's pay attention to the Constitution and don't let him bring it up. People asking if he would is just trying to start crap. That is a very well thought out response. Quick Rick said, no, although the need for a consistently applied course for the country would be beneficial. We can't turn the nation around in 4 years. And Steven said, I voted no. If Trump could run for a third, I feel it would go against every principle of change that we are pushing for now. I still support President Trump all of the way, lifelong Republican. So get on the Annie Fry YouTube channel right now, youtube.com/@AnnieFry, and vote in our poll. We're up to 234 votes right now. And I'm going to tell you what, it's closer than I thought it would be. So you need to let us know, do you think that's good or bad? There's nothing that the lefties would want more than to see this go 90%. Yeah, I'd support a Trump third term. So we'll see what the people of the Annie Fry Show listening right now think by calculating their votes there on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Let's take a quick break. If we get to 300 votes on the poll, we'll take some phone calls in the 2 o'clock hour. Might make that a thing now from now on. Actively participate in the poll and maybe we'll go to some phone calls. When we come back, Will Chamberlain is going to be with us. Of course, he is the senior counsel to the Article 3 Project, and he's going to talk to us about Congress's efforts to limit the district judges that are using their positions to be activists against Donald Trump's agenda. Will Chamberlain next on the Annie Fry Show.